From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. This week, key members of Congress, through letters and legislation, have escalated their alarm about operational and organizational changes that the Postal Service is presently implementing. Moreover, the Postal Inspector General has been requested to evaluate the impact that the changes will have on mail service to the American public, particularly in the midst of a nationwide pandemic and with the approaching 2020 general election. To talk about these issues and whatever else is appropriate is this week's guest, NAPS Executive Vice President Ivan Butts. Hi, Ivan.
Hi, Bob.
Ivan, earlier this week, Fox News interviewed you about doubts being raised in certain political spheres about the capacity and capability of the Postal Service to deliver and transport absentee ballots. Can you share with our listeners the gist of your interview with Fox News?
Yeah, Bob. We discussed quite a few issues during that interview, but that's what made it pass the cutting room floor was the piece on the absentee ballots and the confidence of the Postal Service. And again, I really wanted to reassure Andrew that the Postal Service employees are 100% committed to delivering America's absentee ballots in the midst of this pandemic, and even in spite of the seemingly outward attempts to deny America its right to the vote. But the reality is we are coming up with some type of timelines, you know, where states need to reach out to the Postal Service to make sure, one, that they're engaging in NSAs to bring this process to bear in time for the November elections. You know, the legislation that we're seeing in the CARES Act to the delaying of mail, to the removal of millions, maybe billions of dollars of capital equipment in conjunction with this operational reporting structure changes and the potential impacts that could have.
This morning, today is Thursday, the 13th of August, and Reuters News carried a story this morning indicating that the administration seems to be holding hostage any types of relief to the Postal Service in order that it not be able to or not seek to be a player in the absentee ballot program. What do you think about the holding hostage the Postal Service to the absentee balloting?
Well, you know, Bob, in my opinion, it's not so much holding the Postal Service hostage. The administration is holding America hostage in saying that, you know, I would rather you not go without money to help cover you during this pandemic, expose you to being evicted from your home during this pandemic, just so I can, I guess, also ensure that you don't have full and free access to the ballot through absentee ballots. That's what I see as the main impact. It's not so much the impact of the Postal Service. Obviously, I shouldn't say that. Obviously, there's an impact to the Postal Service, but I think the bigger obvious is that it's an impact to all of America.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, pivot a little bit back, and I just want our listeners to understand that back in May, you had the foresight enough to communicate with every Secretary of State in the Union, asking that they communicate with the Postal Service to enter into a negotiated service agreement to receive, I guess, preferential rates in order to enable them to communicate with American voters and send out absentee ballot applications and to for the return of absentee ballots. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. When Congress passed the CARES Act, the initial CARES Act, which provided relief for America during this COVID-19 pandemic, they also included in that legislation $400 million that would go towards supporting states who would look to move to absentee ballots for their upcoming elections to help protect their citizens from contracting and spreading the COVID-19 virus. So what we did is worked on, I say we, because I include you in this because we are a team. We came up with a letter, just encouraging the state secretary to reach out to the Postal Service to consider vote absentee ballots in the vote by mail process. Reach out to the Postal Service to secure the NSA, National Service Agreement, to process that, and then work with the Postal Service and whatever third party vendor, so we could have that cohesive, coordinated effort in getting the ballots mailed out, getting the ballots returned, and the processing requirements and meeting all the needs. So, you know, it may be, I'm not saying they didn't, but then that would have helped to address these issues that we might have seen in New York with the delays in ballots and third-party vendors. And I think it was another election, they had similar issues. Virginia, right next door to us, Virginia had issues, and again, with third-party vendors. So if we had that coordination with the USPS, between the USPS and state, maybe some of those problems could be alleviated.
Recently, it's come to the attention of a lot of media, and I think folks on Capitol Hill, that traditionally election mail, despite it being sent as marketing mail or being posted as marketing mail, is treated, given priority treatment, like first-class mail. Now there is a concern that the Postal Service is encouraging states to use first-class mail rather than marketing mail. And it's been interpreted in the field, from what I gather, that the market election material sent as with the postage as marketing mail will not have the same treatment that they have traditionally received. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not heard or seen any directive directing us to not handle political mail in any other manner than we have in the past. Now, I agree with you. That's marketing mail is usually, standards of standard mail applied to it. But you're right. We transport and process that mail as if it was first class mail up into its location for delivery. So, yeah, we haven't seen anything like that. But that, you know, could be an issue coming down the line.
Two major changes. I mean, when I'm saying, Ivan, broad areas of change that are being implemented by the Postal Service right now. One is organizational, and that came out last Friday. And the other is operational, which, depending whether or not you believe the first incarnation of the letters coming out of the Postal Service began in early July and came out of the field, or it was initiated at postal headquarters. But it raises concern on Capitol Hill, particularly about the optics, how it looks to the American public, these changes and these operational organizational changes, and how it looks to Congress. Now, each new Postmaster General endeavors to place their own imprint on the institution. And as you recall, Ivan, back in May, former Washington Post editor Bill McAllister shared his views about the Marvin Runyon reorganization plan and how it faltered, both in its rollout and in its implementation. And that was without the headwinds of a pandemic. Now, the optics right now that you have a pandemic and you have an upcoming election and you have these operational changes and you have these major organizational changes, how does this look, A, to the employees of the Postal Service, to the management of the Postal Service, and to the folks who oversee the Postal Service in the United States Congress?
Well, I think the optics look bad, Bob. I mean, I think that's the obvious. I think, you know, we know that by all the alarms that are going off, all the alarms that are being sounded. The optics of what's happening is kind of like looking to create the perfect storm to adversely impact America in numerous ways, not just by the absentee ballots, but by the receipt of essential supplies during a worldwide pandemic, necessary pharmaceuticals for our seniors. So, you know, it's creating a lot of bad optics. And you hear that the new PMG, it has close affiliations with the administration, the president. He has financial ties to seem odd to be obviously conflicts of interest against the Postal Service as he sits at the helm of the Postal Service. So, you know, the optics of the whole transition since June 15th has really gone from bad to worse.
We're not evaluating it, Ivan, the merits or the demerits of the implementation or to the idea behind it. It's the timing, isn't it? That's what's most strange about this?
Well, I think for me, we got to look deeper at the merits also, but for right now, it is the time, right? So you're in this worldwide pandemic. We're searching for a way to have free and fair elections without further exposure to this COVID-19. So, you know, in the immediate, we need to look at it. But I think even on beyond that, you know, we got to look at the merits of what these decisions, you know, what's the value of them anyway. Again, we're talking about taking out millions, maybe billions of dollars of automated equipment, capital equipment, and throwing it away. Now, the restructuring, you know, and the reducing areas and districts and complement, that's something we've gone through before. Whether it's valid or not, you know, I think the proof will be in the finished product. And one thing I've been relating to is that, you know, if we look at the finished product from 2015, when it was all said and done with the closing of processing plants and then the institution of operational windows change, what we saw was, you know, total disaster in service and productivity. And hopefully we won't have that same effect by this decision here. Hopefully we won't, because hopefully we have the full throat support of Congress stepping in and voicing it. But we got to turn the trajectory of it right now.
Ivan, one of the former members of the Board of Governors, in fact, the former immediate past Deputy Postmaster General Ron Stroman, recently weighed in on the whole concept of the reorganization and the operational changes. And he indicated that every Postmaster General is interested and should pursue cost savings and efficiencies. But the question is, and this is what former Deputy Postmaster General Ron Stroman said, the question is how to balance those changes with the public's needs, particularly commerce, since the American public is so reliant on the Postal Service right now for the transport and delivery, for example, of pharmaceutical medications and pandemic-related supplies right now, and that with everything going on and the dependence upon the Postal Service by the American public, not just for the election, but you know, former Deputy Postmaster General Stroman, who's now a senior fellow at a think tank in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, said, you know, that what is happening right now has enormous consequences to the American public and to the legitimacy of the upcoming election.
Absolutely. I think his comments are totally right on point. You know, they have far-reaching, I would say they even have far-reaching implications to America. I think, but in my thoughts on, you know, the impacts to the November elections, I think it's more, for me, it centers more around for stifling free and fair elections than any other legitimacy of it. It's the activity to stifle a free and clear election.
Now, nobody should cast, you know, have any doubt right now. The new Postmaster General, as do other postal experts, believe the Postal Service right now has the capacity to handle absentee ballots and the surge in absentee ballots. So this is all about, as you say, optics, that the Postal Service has become the focal point for commerce and for the American democracy, but it still has the capacity to handle the balloting, no matter what anyone else says.
Oh, absolutely. We definitely have the capacity. We definitely have, you know, the employees now. But when you hamper operations by, you know, taking machines out, restricting or eliminating the use of overtime, then that can hamper the operations. Because, again, you know, the use of overtime has been to address staffing shortfalls for years. And those staffing shortfalls haven't been addressed, and now you're going to take the overtime away that helped the processing plants maintain service and maintain the movement of America's mail. Then that could have some problems. But I think, again, the employees of the Postal Service are ready and willing and able to do whatever is needed to make sure America's mail keeps moving, in addition to America's vote.
On Capitol Hill, the changes, particularly the operational changes, has really captured the attention of members of Congress. There have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 25 letters that were sent from Capitol Hill, whether they be the entire state delegation, congressional delegation, or individual members of Congress. Carolyn Maloney, the chairwoman of the House Oversight and Reform Committee, had a letter that she co-signed with Republican Peter King and a large number of their colleagues calling into question the operational changes. Just this morning, I noted a letter by a senior member of the Senate, Senator Susan Collins, decrying the operational changes' impact on Maine postal operations. You had legislation introduced this week by Chairwoman Maloney asking that if it were passed into law, precluding the Postal Service from reducing service performance and standards from the point that they were at the beginning of the year. Congress, you know, I wish Congress would pass legislation that would provide the Postal Service with the resources and the innovative needs that restore its viability over the long term. But this attention to the short term, the immediate perception of problems with the mail is striking.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think one of the things that has troubled me over this past few weeks, Bob, is how the Postal Service is being propped up as a part of partisan politics. You know, for forever we have been, you know, America's Postal Service, and that cross party lines, that cross ethnic lines, that cross every line. We just serve America. And now in these last 2 weeks, it seems like we've been put on a us and them, us or them list. And that's a shame. That's a shame to the over 600,000 dedicated postal employees who strive every day to do their best to deliver America's mail to America timely and efficiently. I'm glad to see the legislative support that we're seeing coming from around various legislative leaders, including our chairwoman, Representative Carolyn Maloney. But, you know, we need to keep in mind that this is America's post office. This is not partisan politics here. What we have done and what we should be able to continue to do bind this country together through the mail.
And one of the things that helps bind our country together and imbue this level of bipartisanship is a high level of credibility that the Postal Service has traditionally brought to Capitol Hill. There have been bumps along the road, of course, but generally speaking, no matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, you have a high level of confidence in the Postal Service. We've been talking about the recent survey done by the Pew Research Center, which assessed that 91% of Democrats and 91% of Republicans both agree that the Postal Service is the most approved of agency, and there's still a high degree of trust in the Postal Service. It is a shame that there are forces out there that want to diminish that, that want to bring down the approval, that want to undermine the trust that Americans have in this postal system.
And that's the shame of it, Bob. I mean, you know, again, survey after survey really shows that America loves the Postal Service, one of the most trusted federal agencies year in and year out, and one of the most trusted companies, even comparing it to other private companies. So, you know, and again, that approval is across party lines, across demographics. So it's a shame that the C that the post office picked in this type of conflict, again, with partisan politics. But, you know, America understands. America believes in what we do. America supports the work that we do. But our elected legislators think otherwise. So we have to really, and I talked about this in one of my articles, if we believe in the Postal Service, if we trust the Postal Service and the people that we elect and send to Washington to represent us don't, are they really representing us? And I know that's looking at it at the microcosm of the Postal Service, but you can apply that across, I guess, at any level. If they're not representing our issues, then whose issues are they representing?
So the message going forth from now is vote postal.
Absolutely. The message has always been vote postal.
Ivan, any parting words before we sign off for today?
No, again, I thank everyone who listens to our podcast, and I appreciate it. I hope you find some value in it. I appreciate all the hard work, the working EAS, and the employees of the Postal Service, the hard work that you're doing every day, and especially at this time during this pandemic, you know, where we've been challenged by COVID-19 within our buildings and within, you know, our families. But you continue to do your job. You continue to move America's mail. And I'm just proud to be a postal employee. And I appreciate you guys and wish you all the best. God bless you.
Thank you, Ivan. That was Ivan Butts, the Executive Vice President of the National Association of Postal Supervisors. This is Bob Levy, Legislative Director and Political Director of the organization. And if you like our broadcast, please give us a positive review at the iTunes Store. Until next week, be well.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make